Hello and welcome to the live webinar, The 2015 Mobile Opportunity, How Brands Are Shifting Their M-Commerce Strategies, sponsored by Jumio and powered by Retail Online Integration. Hi, I'm Jennifer Deepest-Ball. I'm publisher and brand director for ROI Magazine, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the tips for attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. And if you missed the tech tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. You can also download a copy of Jumio's white paper, The 2015 Mobile Opportunity, by clicking on the widget that looks like an open folder. Now I would like to turn things over to Greg Ashton. He's the Executive Director for Mobile Shopping, and he'll introduce you to today's speakers. Greg, the floor is yours.
To those of you on the West Coast, and good afternoon to everybody who's on the East Coast. Welcome to today's webinar. I'm the first one on the line, so I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Greg Ashton, the director of the Mobile Shopping Conference. My role here really is to bring together the very best minds in mobile and digital each year. A lot of the findings and analysis that you're going to hear today are based on the insights and practices of some of the world's leading brands, so I'm really excited to start this off and really pleased that everyone is on the line. So what have we learned in 2014? From our pretty extensive research here at Mobile Shopping, very clear to us that the retail paradigm is in the midst of a significant shift. I think everybody knows that. That proliferation of shopping channels has fundamentally impacted consumer behavior. It's created a much more diffuse shopping experience that is increasingly being carried out over multiple channels. I think at the center of this diffusion are mobile capabilities, and their ubiquity really has opened up a wealth of new opportunities for retailers to market and engage with consumers. Obviously, thanks to mobile, brands are more embedded than ever in consumers' daily lives. And again, none of this is new. However, brands are being confronted by difficult decisions every single day as they work to leverage m-commerce. So as m-commerce has continued to cement itself as a significant revenue source and that volume of mobile purchases continues to grow, retailers have been faced with a greater risk of transaction fraud. I think many brands have responded by building out robust anti-fraud measures, although mobile transaction security has not been a top priority for all businesses, and that's something that we want to talk about today on the webinar. I think for retailers, both big and small, fraud protection is critical to maintain consumer confidence in m-commerce for 2015 and beyond. So today, for the next kind of 45 minutes, maybe an hour, we'll delve into the best practices and paradigm shifting capabilities that retailers are leveraging to drive revenue through mobile. So we're going to pay attention today to three big issues. Number one is brands shifting mobile priorities. Number two is mobile transaction security. And number three kind of relates to the second point. It's around mitigating shopping cart abandonment. So with us to help understand mobile's seismic shift is Alyssa Merritt, Head of Strategy at Urban Airship. And to talk a little bit about mobile security, we're joined by Ingrid Pinheiro, Marketing Director at Jumio. So ladies, welcome to the webinar. First, now that we've come to the end of 2014, let's talk a little bit about priorities for 2015. What you see on the screen in front of you, hopefully, is our benchmark questionnaire that we put together at our recent mobile shopping conference. We asked all our conference attendees about their most important opportunity for their m-commerce strategy for the year ahead. What we found is that over half ranked enhancement of m-commerce experience as their single biggest mobile opportunity. So let's hear from Alyssa Merritt at Urban Airship. Alyssa, in your experience, really how are brands shifting their mobile commerce strategy? Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what Urban Airship are involved with at the moment?
Sure. Urban Airship has a number of different ways that you can connect with consumers using our mobile platform. So, you know, we're really thinking about the ways that that people connect in the real world. And going back to what you were saying, Greg, you know, there's a lot for brands to think about. There's a lot of competing priorities, and I think this slide shows that, you know, everything from mobile search and display to push marketing to mobile payments, a lot of things for people to think about. I think we're all in agreement that mobile is here to stay, but, you know, what does it really mean to have an always-on, always-connected consumer? And I think one of the biggest challenges is that the path to purchase has become much more circuitous. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see that, you know, I'm saying that search and discovery may happen when a user is waiting for lunch at the deli, and I know that that was the case with my Christmas shopping, and that purchase may happen a few days later on the desktop at home. So how do you solve for that, and how do you keep that sale? What we're seeing is that your app and the notifications that you can send really help. So, you know, if you go to the next slide, you'll see that consumers who download your app are probably your most brand aware and maybe even your most loyal. So what I'm thinking about is, you know, what's the cost of acquisition for your mobile web visitor versus your mobile brand loyalist who downloaded your app and who you can message consistently? Should you think about the 80-20 rule, meaning should you focus on the audience that's most likely to buy? And if your brand is in your hand, how do you get them to engage? So the slide you're seeing right now is an example of an interactive notification. This is one of the newest things that has come out. It's been on Android for a while, but it's now on iOS 8 and phones. What's great about this is that it is response and insights. It's push and pull. So you've got a push notification that lights up the screen and then the ability to collect data about your consumer, about how they respond to that message, whether they swiped in the first place, but also whether they've chosen to buy now or remind me later. So, you know, you really do need to have a strong re-engagement strategy that bridges your brand objectives and user needs. We know that email is getting ignored. We know that TV and out-of-home and direct mail is getting more and more expensive. So what we're seeing is that mobile really opens up a number of ways to communicate. You can light up their screen with a standard push alert. You can badge a message in their message center for an hour later reading. Or, as you see from this slide, interactive notifications has that push and pull. And we're also seeing that interactive notifications are great for social sharing. So organic installs, the ability to get people to share with a friend a message and engage. But if you're going to interrupt their day, you need to be relevant. And as you can see from this, wow, bacon saved by push notifications and a mobile boarding pass for gate change. It's really about getting the right message at the right time. And with push, you have the ability to capture location history, current location, and entry and exit events with beacons. And this is a trend that we're definitely seeing more and more marketers leverage. And it's also part of the data set that oftentimes people are missing. So you don't really know where somebody is and what they're experiencing in the world. So big retailers are definitely dipping their toes into beacons by collecting information now and messaging later based on in-store actions. And if you compare those user actions that you're capturing from what people are swiping on, you really have a very powerful way of connecting with consumers. So this slide really is about context is more than just location. It's about thinking about the user experience in real life. And part of context is experience awareness. So, you know, if you're in a Chicago subway and you're checking out, you know, great stuff to buy from a major retailer, are you going to be able to complete a buy flow in big puffy mittens? what's a realistic ask based on where your use of mobile is for your brand and what somebody is experiencing from a context standpoint? So I guess the question is, where does mobile fit into your omni-channel plan? And if you go to the next slide, I've got 3 points for you to consider. Your mobile app bridges the digital and the physical world. Your mobile app is an insights engine, and mobile lets you connect and re-engage in a number of ways. So let me stop and talk a little bit about what I mean by bridging the digital and the physical world. Mobile does this through location, it does it through context, and it does it through real-time messaging. What I love about mobile is it's uniquely one-to-one. It connects your brand, your user, and their social network in real time. It's incredibly personal. So people expect it to deliver what they care about. And, you know, one of the things brands need to think about is what they want to learn about their user outside of just the desktop. What value does your app offer that can connect people and their networks and spread word of mouth? If you go to the next slide, I also think of mobile as an insights engine. So we talked a little bit about preferences. That's the stuff that users expressly say that they're interested in. Mobile can also capture behavior, so everything that they click or swipe on, you can capture and you can re-message on. And then there's location. There's that location history that I spoke about, and there's real-time location and even entry and exit events with beacons. So mobile's really allowing you to be a lot smarter with segmentation and provide greater relevance to your users. So I challenge brands to think about the data you can gain for mobile use and think about where that fits outside of just the mobile experience. Can you use that mobile data for thinking about day parting in other channels? Can you think about where somebody lives, works, and plays and maybe use that to plan your out-of-home buy? Mobile behaviors and location definitely fill out your single view of the customers. And then finally, you know, the people that we're seeing as real brand leaders are thinking beyond search and they're thinking beyond the download. They're thinking about the different ways that mobile touches the consumer. So mobile lets you re-engage in a number of ways. You can use Passbook and Wallet as a gateway drug because that works on SMS and email and out of home. It's a great way to capture people, to instill loyalty, to offer coupons. You could use your mobile app as a persistent brand reminder on their phone. And then push notifications are great for real-time contextual action that can feed back into your web-based efforts and also into your in-store experiences. So I think the key takeaway is that the power of mobile relies on what it makes it unique. So there's one-to-one insight, real-time context, and location. And I think as users will see from the e-tail report, the real leaders who are in this space are thinking about the real-world touch points of their brands and how one-to-one insight, context, and location for mobile can impact that wider, broader experience. So if you go to the next slide, you know, I think intent and real-time access, that's the killer app of mobile that people should be thinking about and how, as a marketer, you can really work on that aspect of intent and leverage the real-time aspects. So thank you, Greg.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think to recap there, I totally agree. The power of mobile really relies on those three unique features that you mentioned, the one-to-one insight and the real-time context and location. The white paper that we put together has a lot of great examples about some of those real-world practical uses. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, then we'll send it over to you and take a read through. Alyssa, could we go back to the interactive notifications just briefly? You showed us an example there of what that looks like on a screen, where the user can interact directly with the text message rather than just read it and click to open the app. What are you seeing as some of the interesting ways that those interactive notifications are being used?
It's a great way to collect data. So, you know, you're able to see if somebody responds to your push and then also chooses one or of those buttons. People are using it for organic sharing. So if you've got a great offer in that push notification, you have the ability to click the button share, and that can open up a sharing window where you can share to Facebook or Twitter. You know, if you have a friends and family discount as a retailer, that's a great way to expand the reach of that discount or the reach of that offer. And then also it really makes it easy to buy now. So great way to start getting people to go straight into your buy flow from a message if you have a killer deal.
Great. Okay, yeah, we're going to hear more from Alyssa a little later on. As a reminder, if you have any questions today, submit them through the webinar browser, and we'll get around to answering them at the end of the session. Let's now talk about a central challenge in mobile, which is security, fraud protection, and customer confidence. I think, again, from the survey that we conducted at the conference, although fraud prevention remains a significant issue for online and multi-channel retailers, we found that not many businesses are making transaction security a really top priority over the next 12 months. In fact, preventing fraud was actually ranked last among four main priorities for mobile retailers. I think their concerns right now are more around optimizing mobile sites and reducing glitches that impact the customer experience rather than focusing on the fraudulent transaction. So, with so much risk that's currently associated with m-commerce, I think that retailers must work quickly to build out the mobile-specific fraud prevention tools that they need. So to hear a little bit more about that, let's talk with Ingrid from Jumio. Ingrid, do you want to give us a bit of a background on what security and fraud looks like from a Jumio perspective?
Great. Thank you, Greg. Really appreciate it. And wonderful insight regarding overall mobile, sort of the mobile scene today from Alyssa. So thank you so much. What I want to talk about is what Greg just talked about, which is about security. I'm also going to talk in just a bit also about mobile experience. And really the main point here is up until now, and kind of Greg mentioned it just now, which is, first of all, in the survey it was seen, and I'll show a slide shortly, that it was one of the lowest priorities for retailers. And then, you know, because you don't want to put in barricades, you want to make sure that the customer experience is optimal. And so really in today's world, I think this picture kind of sums it up. People are thinking, or retailers are thinking, that I'm going to have to sacrifice customer experience for security, or security for customer experience, yin or yang. So it's really a tug of war that people sort of perceive. And what I really want to talk about is why that shouldn't be seen as sort of two opposites, but really combine them two, and you can actually do that. Next slide, please. So this is actually an excerpt from the survey results. So, you know, fact number one, there's more retailers entering the mobile channel. I think that's an obvious for everybody. That's why we're doing this webinar today. More and more you're going to see the m-commerce channel being much more prevalent in overall online sales. And yet, right now, when people are being surveyed about what's the top priority this coming year, fraudulent transactions and security is the least on everybody's mind. And so that's something that is a little concerning to see, but I can also understand that when you think and you think about security more of obstacles to go through in order to finish a transaction, I can see why people want to put that low on the totem pole. So, next slide. Thank you. So, mobile commerce today, I wanted to bring up some stats. These are ones that I sort of, in our research at Jumio, our own personal research that we've done. We've also done a lot of research with various companies that are looking at the mobile commerce channel. So I wanted to kind of walk through some of these, the good and the bad. Just across the board from both sides of the slide, you see the numbers are pretty significant across the board, right? On the good side, the great news, as I mentioned, mobile commerce is going to continue its role and it's going to increase over time. One of the things to point out here is, you know, a quarter percent, that's the low, the bottom corner here, a quarter, 25%, excuse me, of consumers engaging in online shopping are doing it solely via mobile. 33% of annual growth through 2017 in the mobile commerce channel. So this has been, I think that stat started back in 2011 or 2012, and it's been showing 33% growth over time. What is projected to be, therefore, in 2017, mobile commerce is looking to be 50% of all online sales. On the bad side, so the great news, everything's getting better in terms of more and more focus on getting revenue from the e-commerce channel. The bad news is mobile experience, a consumer, and this kind of goes back to what Alyssa was talking about in terms of location and context and so forth. Just think through where that person is when, you know, let's say they do get that push notification or they, you know, remember that they need to buy something for Aunt Linda or something. They pull out their mobile phone and they're trying to make a purchase. If they have a bad experience, they are definitely going, they're going to make, they feel it very strongly and they're, based on these numbers, are making the retailer feel it too. So I wanted to kind of walk through these because to me these are really staggering numbers. 29% of consumers are going to wait at least a year before revisiting a retail mobile site that had suboptimal experience. And then 30% are never going to visit that that mobile site again. To me, those are pretty high numbers and things that we don't want to have happen with our e-commerce strategy, of course. You know, 51% of mobile shoppers say mobile commerce sites are hard to navigate and use. Over 80%, so 8 out of 10 people are saying that they've encountered some negative experience in their mobile shopping experience. And then 42%, almost 50%, will immediately defect to a competitor. So some big stats, and I think it's worth to really bring up here on this call today. Next slide, please. So a couple of other numbers. This has to do with the holidays. I mean, the Christmas is next week. We've already gone through the holiday three, so I wanted to bring those up here. So almost 25% of all online sales are going to be from the mobile commerce channel, which is almost a 10% year-over-year increase. I already mentioned this stat, which is that mobile will account for over half of online actually, this is just holiday sales. So mobile will account for over half of online holiday sales by 2017. And then this is the holiday three, right? Thanksgiving, Cyber Monday, and Black Friday. If you think about it, just think about it as the holiday three equals 30%, give or take, on these numbers, which is mobile's going to account for 31% on Thanksgiving of online sales, then another 30% of Cyber Monday will be mobile, and then over 30% on Black Friday. And then, of course, that big number, mobile commerce is going to account for about $1.6 billion in sales from those 3 days combined. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Oh, there we go. So a couple of other results. So wanted to kind of go back. We just talked about some statistics and some really profound numbers that are up there in terms of what kind of revenue, what kind of percentage of revenue can be seen from mobile commerce. You saw the stats about the good and the bad of what e-commerce is today. So now let's talk, going back to security. That's kind of where we started with here at the beginning of my slides, which is, and then let's go back to the actual survey that that was done. So wanted to mention decrease or increase in instances of fraud in the past year. The retailers that we surveyed, a little over half said that it stayed the same. Almost 30% said that they've seen an increase, while during the holiday season, we're looking at 40% of those surveyed reported a higher incidence of fraud over the holidays. So overall, if you look at these numbers, things are going in the direction that we don't want it to go, which is there is more and more fraud happening. While, you know, over half are saying it stayed the same, do we really want to not alleviate that? That doesn't mean it was low. It just means that they saw either a slight bump or something similar, but then another 30% on top of that already said that they saw an increase. So it's not something that's just so small that we can just hide away and not think about. It's something that we really do need to, you know, tackle head on. One of our surveys that we did here at Jumio was with consumers. So it was not to the retailers like these other two questions were, but to the consumer side, we were asking questions as well in terms of what their experience is with mobile commerce. And 51% of respondents failed to complete an attempted purchase on a smartphone or tablet because they didn't feel comfortable entering their credit card info. So over half. So that's a pretty big number. So it's about really looking at security not as, you know, the obstacle to completing a transaction. Think about it in terms of strengthening your brand experience for the consumer. Once again, going back to those other numbers, consumers who've had a bad experience either will wait a year or will not come back ever. One of those bad experiences is about not feeling comfortable about putting in their credit card info. If I don't feel like, you know, that's a legitimate site that's going to protect my credit card information, I'm certainly not going to purchase, and there's plenty of other places I can go and buy something. Next slide, please. So really what we should be seeing is not that tug of war between customer experience security, but really it should go hand in hand. Next slide, please. Greg, did you want to bring
up something
before I go on?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, your insight there, Ingrid. I completely agree that we cannot hide away from this issue of fraud. It's clear that a lot of people, hopefully on this call, have been given some food for thought around making transaction security more of a top priority over the next 12 months. I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about it in the year ahead. I think a related point as well is that overall banking institutions and retailers have got to get their heads together on this and work collaboratively to develop and implement some of these transaction security measures and crucially make sure that they extend those measures to mobile transactions. So, yeah, really, really interesting insight. I think drawing on some of that conversation above, our final big issue today is around cart abandonment and really how to create a smooth and frictionless and crucially secure mobile checkout process. We found from our survey that mobile shopping cart abandonment can be especially problematic during the holidays, as alluded to by Ingrid just there. Over half of those survey respondents lose more than a third of their holiday customers to shopping cart abandonment. So yeah, let's hear a little bit more from you, Ingrid. What is some of your plans and strategies that Jumio have to actually create more of a secure and frictionless checkout process?
Great. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. So the next few slides, what I want to talk about is that, you know, creating that type of frictionless and yet secure mobile experience is possible. So I am going to talk a little bit more about security in just a second in the context of it's something that you can actually bring together with customer experience. So I'll bring that up in just a second. But let's talk about mobile experience, and I'm talking about it from the transaction perspective. So now you have somebody who's come to your site, they put something in their shopping cart, and now they're going to go and complete that purchase. So what do they have to do to, you know, finally hit that buy now and then have that wonderful message saying, success, you bought that wonderful whatever it is on their phone. So again, going back to that good and bad slide, which I'll probably be referencing here several times, poor mobile experience means people who will be very upset in terms of not being able to make that purchase. And some of the things that we've noticed in talking with our customers as well as some of the research we've done is kind of the obvious things, right? Too many fields to fill out, small form factor because it's on your smartphone. It's too time-consuming because of all the information that's being requested. And then overall, they just you know, they're talking about it's a poor brand experience altogether when they do have those types of obstacles they have to go through. So next slide, please. So I'm going to talk about the two major ones, right? And this, again, what you just alluded to. One is the field, and this is kind of talking to that. What we did is when we did a little bit of just investigation on different shopping cart experiences, it's an average of about 75 keystrokes that people have to fill in order to complete a purchase. Of course, kind of obvious, 75 keystrokes means 75 chances of error. You know, some sites, you know, will, once you hit that button to go to the next page, sometimes blank out all the fields and you have to start all over again, sort of don't pass go and collect $200, but you have to go back. Some places, of course, don't do that, but overall, it's just time-consuming, and that is about actually the next slide, please. So with 75 keystrokes, that's about almost 2 minutes of time that you have to take on so that you can actually buy that item or items on your mobile phone. So really, the overall goal here when you're talking about a mobile experience is to cut that down as much as possible. You want to eliminate all of that in order to really get between the time that they've actually made that decision to make a purchase to the button that says that their purchase is done, how fast, how few steps do they have to go through to do that. Next slide, please. So just wanted to talk about one of our solutions today. We just talked about the almost 75 keystrokes, almost 2 minutes of time that people have to go through in a regular checkout solution. BAM Checkout is one of Jumio's solutions that is very easy to implement into a mobile transaction flow. It actually integrates directly into somebody's existing mobile checkout flow. And what it does is basically adds a button to your existing form that you're asking somebody to start filling out when they're making their purchases. Rather than going through and filling out those forms with their, you know, keystrokes and so forth, they just hit that button on top on that first smartphone that you see in the series here, and then that'll prompt them basically to go through and scan their credit card and their ID. And what that is that with their smartphone, they can use the phone, I'm sorry, the camera on their smartphone to take a picture of their credit card, and then you can actually ask them to also take a picture of their ID, the back of the ID with their barcode. And what that then does is take the data that you're requiring from those forms that you're requesting the information for, you're able to extract that data and be able to populate that into the form very easily and very quickly. And it's auto-populated into the checkout field so that people can just get to the Buy Now button quicker. Next slide, please. So I kind of mentioned several data elements because you're scanning both cards, and that's actually an option. If you don't want to integrate both the credit card and ID scanning feature, you can do one or the other. But in this sense, it's for the full BAM checkout solution, you can scan both of those types, the payment information and the driver's license. And all this information that's showing up on the slide is what can get extracted and auto-populated into forms. Next slide, please. So we talked about by doing all of that autofill from the ID and credit card, you're eliminating all of those keystrokes and times that they have to do to fill that out manually. But in addition, let's go back to what we talked about initially when I first started, which is security. By implementing BAM Checkout, that puts two new sort of components into your existing anti-fraud processes in your mobile checkout flow. First of all, because you're requiring the person who's making the purchase to have their actual credit card and take a picture of that actual credit card, you're really turning that person not present transaction to a person present transaction. So that's one sort of anti-fraud component or feature that would add into your existing process flow. The other one is, if you are going to implement BAM checkout with both the ID and credit card scanning, there's a cross-check that is done between the two pieces of information that you're scanning to make sure that the name on the credit card and the name on the ID are actually the same. So that's another one that prevents fraud from sort of going through. Next slide, please. Oh, and we are PCI Level 1 compliant. Just wanted to mention that with this slide. We definitely work with several merchants already with our different solutions. Next slide. Yeah, so we've talked today about security. We've talked about making the experience optimal for consumers. And this slide really is showing you that VamCheck does that. You know, that slide that I showed before about the handshake between mobile customer experience and security, they don't have to be a tug of war. They can go hand in hand. And by giving them a solution like this, where they can actually feel safe and confident when they're going through the transaction and make it fast and easy, can really result in higher conversion rates for you. Greg, back to you.
Fantastic. Yeah, awesome to hear your perspectives there, Ingrid and Alyssa, a little earlier in the call as well. I just wanted to draw everyone's attention to the report that we produced recently. We'll be able to send you this full white paper in the follow-up email to this webinar. We had about three key recommendations from the report. You can see them there on the screen. The first one really is retailers have to kind of step up to the table and start to gear up for the next round of innovation in 2015 and beyond. Bullet point B, we covered pretty much in detail. Mobile fraud protection really does need to move up your priority list if it isn't already. And finally, we can really mitigate the effects of shopping cart abandonment by treating mobile as this kind of unifying element in an omni-channel strategy. So we'll send you the report in the follow-up email. We have time now for a few questions. I think we had a few that were submitted from some of you guys in the audience. We'll go back to Alyssa Merritt, Head of Strategy at Urban Airship. And the first question we have is really around app engagement. So how are certain retailers using app engagement strategies to drive traffic right now, whether to stores or mobile commerce sites? What have you learned over the past few months, Alyssa, in that regard?
They're certainly thinking creatively. So, for instance, one major women's fashion retail brand has done a great job of leveraging people's wish lists, and they have a great push notification that gets people thinking about their friends and their girlfriends or boyfriends who might want something in their store. So driving people back into the mobile experience to find out what somebody might want. Gamification is something we're also seeing. So Victoria's Secret Pink is doing a great job of capturing the imaginations of a younger audience through different things that get them back in on a daily basis because of the fun factor. And then certainly the use of interactive notifications and utility. So transactional messaging is also really big.
Yeah, interesting. And around push messaging, what types of opt-out rates are you seeing when retailers start to use that form of communication? And is there any way to mitigate that opt-out?
Sure. I think, you know, we've seen, and we have a lot of research on this, that push actually helps significantly with retaining users. But with any form of communication, there'll always be some attrition. So it's really finding those points of re-engagement, those things that make your messaging relevant and useful to a consumer that help. And, you know, tagging for different behaviors in-app or capturing people's preferences early in the relationship is key to doing that. More and more people are integrating some of the insights gained in mobile to other aspects of the business. So using the 1-2 punch of email and mobile as supporting tools, and then also thinking about, you know, offers that are really mobile-centric to keep people coming back to the app.
Right, definitely. I think Ingrid shared some really good learnings from the holiday shopping period this year. For you, Alyssa, what have you learned from the holiday period this year, and how is mobile app engagement impacting shopping behaviors as you see it?
It was terrific to see Ingrid's stats, and you know, I agree completely with them. We recently did some research, and they were almost exactly aligned with what Ingrid was seeing. So we saw a big shift to more notifications this year. About a third of sales from the retail clients that we work with were attributed to push, and we're really pleased with that direction. Consumers are engaging a lot earlier on mobile for their shopping. And we think that that's just going to continue, as Ingrid mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple more questions from the audience. I think this one is for Ingrid Pinheiro, Marketing Director at Jumio. What have we got here? How do you give a consumer the confidence to actually complete a transaction? How do you give them the confidence to actually enter their ID details or enter their credit card details on your mobile site? That's a question for Ingrid.
So hopefully I'm answering it correctly. So I apologize if I'm misunderstanding the question that was presented. But really for us, I think what the question is alluding to is what's the security in terms of scanning a credit card and then scanning the barcode of your driver's license in order to extract that info, if I'm not mistaken. It's really all we're doing is pulling the same information off of those two cards into the form based on what the merchant is already requesting from the person. So it's a difference of somebody actually manually entering that or scanning that information from their ID. That picture is not stored anywhere of their ID or credit card. That information is then extracted and auto-populated into the form. And as I mentioned, we are PCI at level one compliance, so there's definitely that security factor that I just wanted to bring up again. But really, the thought here is not, and in fact, we're actually securing the whole transaction process even more because of those anti-fraud features that I talked about. So really what you should think about when you're looking at the BAM checkout solution is really the ease and really optimizing that experience so people don't have to manually enter that information. That's all we are assisting with. There's that level of security is really in the confidence and the ease of the experience itself as well.
I see. So the scanning of credit card and ID, will that also work for mobile sites or is it just for apps?
So right now it's mobile apps, and then we're doing both in 2015.
Okay, great. I think that's pretty much everything that we have here. I guess a final question for Alyssa, if you have any thoughts around data. What are your thoughts on order value via mobile? Do you think customers are feeling more comfortable making high dollar purchases on mobile phones? Has that changed since you started out in the space?
I think it is evolving. I really liked what Ingrid had to say that, you know, thinking about strengthening the brand experience for the consumer. There is a difference between a mobile web experience and putting your credit card on a mobile web experience on a site that maybe you're not as familiar with versus as a brand loyalist having an app with a brand you're very familiar with and perhaps trust and putting your credit card information into that experience. So the context does matter and the brand experience does matter, and the more streamlined your buy flow, the more likely I do think that consumers will commit to mobile. So we are seeing more and more purchases on mobile devices, but there's still a lot of opportunity there.
Excellent. I think that just about wraps it up. So thanks again to Alyssa Merritt, Head of Strategy at Urban Airship, and also Ingrid Pinheiro, Marketing Director at Jumio. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and look forward to seeing you all at the Mobile Shopping Conference in 2015. It's going to be October 14th to 16th.
Thanks, Greg. On behalf of Jumio and Retail Online Integration, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get all of our archived and upcoming webinar information. And if you'll also just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that'll appear on your screen next, we would be truly grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. I hope to see you at the next ROI webinar.